Hey, it's recording the podcast.
It's recording the podcast. Man, what a month that was. We recorded with Dr. Firefight himself.
Yeah, Dr. Firefight. And
Andrew Sharp so long ago.
It was forever.
Forever ago. It doesn't feel like it was just in the last half hour.
Yeah, not at all.
No. But June is a busy month, so...
Yes. June's going to be kind of crazy.
Yes. But here we are. Welcome to Dead Zone, the podcast.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop...
That was the shortest cold open we've ever done.
Right? And it didn't feel staged at all.
No! Why would we stage something like that?
No. But welcome to the show, as always. And so, there, with a combination of having a move and a wedding reception to go to.
Party thing? Yeah.
Yeah. In over the course of June, we're recording this a little earlier.
Just a little.
Then the night before an episode comes out.
Yeah.
We did that earlier today. So this we wanted to do, another recording for our more kind of regular show.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about, you know, what we've been working on lately, new things that are going on in the community, and other fun stuff that we've been up to lately. So
I have a horrible confession. That hobby-wise and game-wise, I've been playing more Kings of War.
How dare!
Well, because also in this month, we have a tournament for Kings of War that Adam Kinney is doing.
Yep, friend of the show, Adam Kinney.
And so, yeah, that's taken up the bulk of my time.
Yeah. Well, plus, like, a big part of that is also the 3D printing that you've been doing
for your
army. And that takes a considerable amount of time. But I got to say, the models that you've got going for you look fantastic.
Well, it's kind of one of those, am I going against the game because I'm 3D printing my own models? I would say yes to that if it wasn't for the fact that I have a ton of undead
it is definitely one of those things where at certain points, like, it's just kind of fun to have the proxy force, especially when you already have
the original official Mantic undead.
We've got so many boxes of elves here. there's
two,
your drawer.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think there's 9 total. I think one of them's not in here.
Okay, so 9 boxes of 50 models.
Each. And I'm sure some of those will be gone by the time this episode comes out.
Probably. Prize support is great.
Because I'll totally give them to Adam. Here, give these out.
But 3D printing has been a big
part of my hobby lately. Both the resin printer and the FDM printer. Printing off a bunch of scenery for another game. But at the same time, looking back at the isolation protocols, because I got a new FDM printer that's definitely an upgrade from what I had. Is printing out some amazing scenery. So I get to reprint my isolation protocols for Dead Zone.
Nice. Definitely looking forward to that. And you know, it also kind of speaks to some things that we've talked in and experiments and ideas that we've had for our gaming tables in the past are now very much like a possibility, such as like a forest.
Doing the different kind of alien worlds. Because, I mean, you look at Dead Zone. So the whole idea behind Dead Zone is you have a planet that has some type of outbreak,
mm-hmm.
and the Council of Seven shuts it down.
Yep.
Well, not all of these planets are Earth-like.
True.
Not all of them are these constructed GCPS buildings. So now with the printers, we're able to kind of create more of the worlds that we see in our head, which can lead into the stories that you guys are writing.
Yeah.
And lead into, I don't know, some of the Dreadball stuff.
Yes.
Like all of it. Speaking of the Dreadball, did you see the 3D printed mat?
I have. That's been.
That looks amazing.
So cool. And now I just had the thought of like, so with the Dreadball match, you know, from the Magnetar circuit, we have all those different worlds in that space.
Yeah.
Making Dead Zone games where you're on airships.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how you'd play Dead Zone in an ocean.
The ocean one would be, well, see, that would be the thing is like you can't shoot like maybe
the spheres would be the only one that can shoot because they have harpoon guns.
It could be sinking.
Oh.
Like the
oh wow.
The levels are filling up with water.
Ooh.
So we're just making this stuff up off the top of our heads, guys.
And you roll every round to see if it goes up one more level. Yeah. So you have to climb up.
Oh, that'd be fun. And there could be like interactive scenery to be like a sump pump.
Pump it! Pump it!
Or to lock. Maybe it's a cube-based thing where it's like one cube fills up.
Randomized cubes, kind of like a smoke.
Yeah, yeah. A cube around that, you know, adjacent one then fills up and you can like lock down that area or something.
Oh, boy.
So
our next game is going to be in water, apparently.
And this is the downside. It's like we're talking about this, acknowledging that we probably won't get together to game for like another month.
I know.
But so just if you come up with ideas like that, you know, just throw them out there sometimes.
And we'll go nuts with them.
You never know what's going to stick.
So that's what we'll do for the night that they're all getting their nails. The ladies are getting their nails done. Everybody else in the party can go to the escape room and me and you will play Dead Zone. I don't think that'd be very nice.
No.
It'd be fun.
It would be fun. It'd be great if we could get the other guys to play, but I also know that they don't play these kind of games.
Yeah, no.
But that, you know, maybe someday.
Someday.
Nick,
yeah,
my buddy Nick.
Yeah,
I did get to play Dreadball and Star Saga at different points.
Okay.
It was just one of those like didn't get to consistently do it to keep it.
Yeah, it
going.
makes it rough. That's kind of the hard thing about all these games. I mean, if you have that new player that really is into it, and you can't give them the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's rough.
Yeah.
It's funny because another buddy that I was talking to, he's struggling with the idea of wanting to be a part of a community for his game that he's playing, which happens to be Wild West Exodus.
Gotcha.
And he really wants a community, wants more players, but it's that tough thing because he works nights.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And only has the weekends off.
Gotcha.
Which, like, for us here in Lansing, our local game, at the time of recording this, still wasn't open on the weekends.
Right.
So it's like the weekends are out. He works nights, so it's not like he could drive up to Lansing to do something at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's finding that balance when it comes to new players in giving as much time as you possibly can. And like for us, we were lucky.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that we met, my first demo, that whole year, like it just clicked. We were always able to play. My wife was great and helped me out by letting me go play.
And I was single, so it worked out.
And now you look at, as the progression goes, you're married now, you bought a house.
Yep.
You have all of these things going, and I'm still in the same position where I'm married and I have kids, and I'm a store manager, and sports, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, when do we find the time? Luckily for us, we have kind of figured that out, sort of.
Yeah, we've been able to navigate it to a certain extent.
We get some off looks from our spouses, I'm sure.
A little bit.
Because I know I do.
We love you.
So does yours listen?
No.
I say mine doesn't either. Well, that's not true. I can say that my wife listens to our podcast because she's because up there she's and upstairs. She can hear us.
But yeah, no, it's it's one thing too where we're both pathfinders for Mantic, and it has been a bit of that struggle. They've been more lenient, but given circumstances. But one of the things we were always kind of tasked with doing, which we enjoyed, was getting some demos out there, going to new stores,
doing them in the same store, but like keeping that momentum going with the potential of more players, which as a Pathfinder brings them in more income. Cause it's kind of the whole point of the program.
Right. Right. And it's been that unfortunate thing. Like there's a game shop near where I live, before the move.
Yeah.
And like, they literally like next week is when they're opening up in store play. And I'm just like, man, I've been wanting to get there.
Yeah.
Cause someone has put up a like Kickstarter set of Dreadball second edition for sale, like a pre-owned kind of thing. And I'm just like, man, I would want to. I missed the shot of knowing who was selling it. But also be like, hey, I kind of want to know who bought that so that we could get together.
And yeah, so that's kind of crazy too, because so with the Kings of War event, another big announcement for us in our area is the Michigan GT has announced their dates for their convention. It's going to be the October 8th, 9th, and 10th. Well, in the conversation, somebody that just joined our Facebook group for the Michigan Mantic community knows Dead Zone.
Woohoo!
And it was like, the conversation was about Kings of War, and he said, I just learned Dead Zone. It's like, ooh! So you know what I did. So I've been talking to him and found out that he actually is from the town that my in-laws live in.
I mentioned this off the podcast, but I'm going to reiterate it here for our listeners. Like you kind of have this magnetic field around you. And I don't just mean that you're personable, but like people in your past, like
where
you have lived and no longer live, like, somehow they're drawn to the same areas that you now reside.
But it's only when you say Dead Zone.
It's only when you say Dead Zone.
I mean, it's kind of like that. It's like when we got Michael into it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that same thing. It's like that spark. Mm-hmm. And I think it's awesome because it's Dead Zone.
Yeah.
But yeah, like with all of these different things going on, that's part of us as Pathfinders. Is to be involved in these, figuring out. Well, so it's June.
Yes,
technically it's June this comes out.
This episode will air in June.
Can you tell we've never done these kind of episodes
recorded beforehand? What's that?
But like us figuring out our schedule for October.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, we wouldn't have ever thought about it. It's like. Yeah. Hey, let's go do something next month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We're there.
But now it's, okay, so it's in October. Can we make this happen?
Yeah. It's a different time. And I won't say, you know, it's not a worse time. It's just a changed time.
Yeah, it's just changed. And it's changed for the good, too, I think.
Yes.
Because you have, like, in June, the Kings of War tournament that Adam is running. Neither of us are running it.
Right.
I'm actually playing in it. Or played in it. Yeah.
You will both be playing in it and have played in it. We need a future perfect phrase? I don't know. Verbs are weird.
I don't know. That's words. That's in your basket, not mine.
Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine out.
But he's doing this tournament instead of one of us, which is awesome.
It's kind of a neat evolution of our gaming community, where people that have been with us for a long time. Adam was one of our very early members.
One of the first ones, yeah.
To join us when we were still in single digits, I think. And and you know, it's been great, you know, growing with him as a gamer as well. Because
I think he was number four.
I think so.
Because it was me and you and Dom. And I think it was Adam.
I think it was Adam was next.
Yeah.
But no, it's been great growing as both a gaming community and as friends.
Oh yeah.
And now, you know, that he's comfortable putting on events. He's been
really excited about it.
Growing the gaming community out where he lives, and doing great work, you know, with like getting younger kids interested in the
game.
Yeah,
he had a whole bunch of younger people up in Mount Pleasant that he has brought in to play Dead Zone.
Yeah.
And him and his brother have gotten some other people to play Kings of War. So it's really cool to see something that we started here in Lansing start to expand, and then not only expand from us, but then branch out on their own.
Yeah.
And I love seeing it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think I'm even going to find myself close to Corey.
Yeah, you will be.
And so it's been on my docket. Corey, I don't know if you actually listen to the show, but we're probably going to connect at some point and get some gaming in.
Yay!
So, is he reigning champ?
Officially? In Michigan, yes.
In Michigan, yes, I think.
No, it's been technically the last tournament you won.
Oh wow, it's been that long.
It has. It's been well over a year since we've had a tournament.
That's sad. We are going to be changing that with the Michigan GT.
Yes,
and all these other events. You know, thankfully we're finding that our area is at a point where things are opening back up.
A lot of people are vaccinated, which is great.
Yep. I think it goes a long way to, you know, allowing people to be in the same space in a safer environment than previous, and just kind of being more comfortable all around.
Yeah, definitely. So what have you been doing? Wait, I know what you've been doing. You've been moving.
I've been doing a lot of moving. Prior to the move... I know. I think I mentioned last, and not in the Andrew Sharp interview, but the episode before that, which would be April's episode.
I'm glad I'm not the only one struggling with this.
That I had been working on Striders to make my OHMS team Striders.
Yep.
Since then, I actually got around to painting them, which was kind of a miracle, because I usually do one thing or the other. I'm either building things or painting.
There's no both.
Yep. And so just kind of had a great space amount of time that I was able to put towards that. And I got to say, like, you know, it might just be one of those, you know, evolution of both skill and better quality paints.
Yep.
But... they turned out really sharp.
And, the pictures looked really cool.
And I don't even think they really do it justice. I unfortunately couldn't bring them to show you.
Yeah.
But I will take more pictures.
More pictures.
To post with the episode to go with that. On top of that, I also got my hands on some more GCPS.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yep. Our good buddy Taylor. Over in Wisconsin, was able to hook me up with some surplus
because he was making room for another game.
Yep, and so I was able to essentially double the size of my current GCPS force, as far as like regular Marines, veterans, Rangers,
essentially the whole lot,
the whole lot, like across the board, including a lot of the specialists. for Rangers. With their like the tank hunting team. I got like a bunch of the weapons teams now.
Cool.
And just just putting it all together was a lot of fun. I do have that ambition to then paint them.
Yep.
After the move.
And I think it's safe to say that probably in July, next month in July, potentially we'll be able to get a firefight game in.
I think
second
so.
Second edition firefight, your GCPS versus Enforcers?
Enforcers, probably.
Plague?
Plague. You got a lot of Plague.
Enforcers, Plague. Those would be the two that... Because I don't have quite enough Forge Fathers.
Or quite enough Veermen.
And I definitely don't have enough Asterians. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Enforcers or Plague.
That'll be fun. And maybe I'll get some of those vehicles. I've got two of the Flyers in storage. We'll see if they make it out of storage. So the other big thing with the move that's going to be, or two things that are going to be really exciting is, the new place that we're moving to is going to have a nice big basement space for hobby, like for painting, for modeling and stuff. And then we'll have some space for actually gaming. Basement's kind of a nice space.
Cool.
We're gonna make it into a really neat thing. And so
not a patchwork style like mine.
I mean, yours is still pretty solid. Really excited for that. To really kind of have that space set aside. Like right now my hobby desk is also like technically like my office desk.
Yeah.
Which has like another monitor, and if I'm gonna have a call or something, I gotta clear everything off, and it's a little bit of a chore. And so I'm really excited to have a dedicated hobby space to do whatever with, including at the time that this comes out, I will likely also be in possession of a 3D printer. Which may run day and night for a while, making all sorts of, I think, terrain and doodads is kind of the first thing on my docket. Like, I've always wanted more
doodads,
scenery and terrain, cars and stuff like that.
Well, and then when you go to having your own game table, your own gaming environment, then you realize how much that you wish you had.
Mm-hmm.
That 3D printer is going to open up for you, and you're going to be like, Rick, I have too many STLs. What do I print?
That was the fun thing. This is a birthday gift from my in-laws, because they're excited too, because we play all sorts of board games and stuff, and they're like, hey, you'll be able to make all sorts of stuff for us. I'm like, yeah.
Just wait until you start looking up the STL files for FDM printing for game boxes.
Yeah.
There's a ton of them for organizing your games. It's crazy.
They could definitely use them. We play Catan a lot over there. And
have you looked up the Catan tiles?
Not yet.
There's 3D leveled Catan tiles. They're amazing.
Those are definitely on the docket. The 3D printing is something I'm going to be just beginning into. I've always liked the idea of it. And so I'm excited to expand that. There is a big like, hey, you're going to get this after you move. So you're not making a bunch of stuff.
So you have to
before
move.
The move.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
It makes sense. It makes waiting.
Struggle. So how much time have you spent looking up STLs already?
So I already have an account. the funny story, this isn't really a knock against, I think it was Thingiverse. But like I tried signing up with just one of my regular emails.
Yeah.
And it has a two-factor thing where it's like, I'll send you an email and you got to click on it. And it was like, I did that and I never got the email. I wound up signing up like through Google and everything, but like it literally took like 4 days for the email to arrive. And by then I'm like, oh, there you are. I don't know what the delay was. It's probably weird. Fine. But no, I've definitely started saving a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot of neat things that are already for Dead Zone.
Yes.
On there, like there's some custom dice for command dice.
Yep.
And
I think I have those.
And scenery and all sorts of other stuff. But yeah, I am gonna be conscious of the space that I have available.
Yes.
When deciding what to print and where it's gonna go, but I'm it's gonna be an exciting I think new toy to play with.
You'll have fun with it. I mean, so you look at how that whole transaction goes. I mean, so for me, Pat was the first one that had a 3D printer, and I saw some of his wife's sculpts when we went down and saw him in Chicago, and that was really cool to see. And then Rob got one, and he was putting out some crazy stuff. And then that's when I got one. I didn't get the Ender 3 like they did.
Right.
I went with a cheaper model that I will never get that brand again. but then Coach got one, and Coach has gone insane with his. Mm-hmm. Like, his is nonstop, I think.
Yeah.
But you start to build another community inside of our communities with people that do the 3D printing. And it's like, oh, that's easy. You need to do this, this, and this. You need... There's the layers, the heat. Yeah. There's so many different parts to it. Like, it's a whole nother world of the hobby that you're gonna have a lot of fun with it.
I think so, and I think it's also, I don't know if I'd say it's like the direction, like our hobby as miniature gamers is going per se, but I think it's definitely, I think we're gonna find a lot of people find that they've got the capability and the resources to start doing a lot more of these kind of games. We've seen a lot more like figure agnostic games coming out. And one of them that I thought would be worth mentioning is a game called 5 Parsecs from Home.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
It's a...
This is going to be a really weird future thing, because literally you just got it.
I literally just got it.
But we're
going to
be talking about it next month, or last month.
Like, I already read the book or something. Rather than just the dozen or so pages I got in on lunch. it's the premise of the game. It's from Mephodius Games. I'm going to have a link in the show notes.
Yeah, that works.
At the time of our recording, it just became available in PDF. I think books are the physical books are just shipping.
Just shipping. Okay.
Which was kind of what they had scheduled, was going to be the end of May. A lot of this stuff was going to be rolling out. And I got to say, it's something I'd heard, friends of the show, even Dr. Firefight himself. Has been really, doing a lot of content for that game. And I think it's safe to say that was what originally drew me in, was a lot of the stuff they were putting out for it. And so the premise of the game is really centered around a solo miniature campaign game. So it's designed from the ground up to be a solo campaign game, as opposed to a lot of our other games where it's kind of like adapted to be a solo experience.
This one's built to be solo that. First.
Yeah. And it's like I said, I haven't haven't actually gotten all the way through the book yet or anything like that.
Oh, but you have. In fact, you've played a game or two.
Now, as I future speak, I have played this game. It's got some interesting stuff at the very start. Like a lot of this is, they have like a lot of charts that you're rolling dice to kind of help push you along to, like, when you're creating your crew, you can be like your little firefly set of misfits. You can be a group of warriors going out and stuff like that. You can set up backgrounds and motivations for your characters. Yeah. There's just a handful of stats that are used mostly to, like, okay, this determines how far you can move on the board. And they're very literal with their numbering. It's not a, like some games where it's like, all right, you got this number compared to that number and chart it out. It's very much like, all right, you start with, you can move 4 inches.
that's it.
Yep. And like this number, this is what you add when you roll a dice. This number is what bad guys have to roll to hit you. And stuff like that. So it's fairly straightforward, which I definitely appreciate. I've been looking at some of the AI components, and they've got, we've toyed around with AI.
Yes.
For Dead Zone and stuff like that. And there's, I would argue, is pretty similar with one adjustment is, like, enemies come in different flavors, paradigms, if you will. Like, one was like a defender. And so a defender's set of, like, goals, like when they're in they have a very specific thing that they're going to try to do first, which is move to a location and hunker down in that. And then from there, you're going to shoot and you're not going to move from that spot. Then there's like rampagers, and their thing is like,
they charge you no matter what.
They're going to try to get as close to you as possible, as fast as possible, while using cover. And then I think there's even a level below that, which is like beast, which is like,
yeah,
you're just going to sprint across the field as fast as you can. I think it's really just slight little things, but they really put your mindset when you're providing your instructions for these enemies to play. They do also suggest, if you wanted to do a co-op experience, you could do it where, you know, one player's controlling X number of your crew, the other player's controlling the other. And they have neat things for, like, how their campaign evolves, where your characters kind of hear rumors, and that's what gets them to go on quests, as it were. And then you have, like, story points and luck, and that's how you get different pieces of the campaign to kind of reveal and unlock itself.
Hey, that works.
It's pretty neat.
So, and this is one of those games where it's miniature agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
But not only is it miniature agnostic, with this one, you could literally change it to the Warpath universe.
Yeah.
In everything that's happening in the game, you can tell your story, read through your story, play your adventure in the Warpath universe, to the point where your character might end up in the middle of a Dead Zone battle.
True. You might even, in the grand scheme, be able to swap out the combat for that game if you wanted to, and play a Dead Zone game in the middle of it.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes when we're recording, we actually have to pause to do something. I totally forgot where we were.
We were talking about 5 parsecs from home. And
being able to... In the Warpath universe.
Yeah, being able to place it in the Warpath universe. And I won't lie, it's kind of what I'm planning to do. So, like, a lot of the story characters that I came up with for my the writing competition, I'm like,
your new story will be out at this point, isn't it?
My new story will not. It will be out for people to read, as the contest is going to be over in like 2 days.
Oh yeah, yeah.
As of the time of the release of this episode. But that's one thing I'm really excited for. I think, like Dead Zone's campaign is very much for the skirmish.
Yes, it's set for the Dead Zone universe.
And it's geared towards, there's less it's a little less story driven.
Yeah.
In some cases, it's a bit more mechanic focused in how the campaign evolves. And so I'm really excited for, you know, being able to basically kind of have this more story driven. They even call the style of game more of an adventure miniature game.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really excited to see how that can play out and evolve. And I'll toy around with whether or not I do Dead Zone fights for the battle, or if I do, some kind of flavor of playing it with their rules. I'll probably try them out, for no other reason than to just see how well they play. But I know, like, one thing they even mentioned at the beginning is, like, the game won't necessarily scale with you. And what they mean by that is you will sometimes be put into situations where you guys just wipe the floor with whatever you're fighting.
Yeah.
Or you might be pitted against something that is just unstoppable based on where your characters are currently at. So you have to kind of play that, you know, do we try to get the item? Do we try to beat these guys, or do we just try to run away?
You'll be able to play this on Star Saga.
That too.
They have the rules for using a grid.
Excellent.
Which is pretty much exactly what Star Saga is based on.
Exactly. Excellent.
Sorry. Sidetracked.
But no, so that's a fun thing. We thought we'd mention that one on the show. Like,
yeah,
we'd kind of
because we'd gone over Hardwired.
Yep.
And just the different ways to use the minis that you have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, this is, I've like full intents to use all the Mantic minis that I've
yep.
Got to this point to play this game. I think they even said, like, as far as what you might need for enemies, you've got like your Starship Troopers, you know, have some kind of military force, have a gain force, and then have like an alien force. And so at this point, I think I've got a fun variety of each one. And they're like,
yes.
You know, you don't need all of them at the start. You can grow and whatnot. So I'm pretty geeked to try out this campaign. And see where our adventures take us.
Well, it'll be pretty cool, too, because, I mean, the big thing is, obviously, we're Deads on the Podcast.
Yes.
Why are we Deads on the Podcast? Because we love Dead Zone.
Yes.
And Dreadball.
And Dreadball.
And Mantic Games. I mean, we play the Fantasy. We play Kings of War. We play Vanguard. Mm. We play Dreadball. We play Dead Zone. We play Star Saga. There is so much that we can play, and yeah, we can always talk about those. But yep. The fact is, we're gamers.
Yes.
We are gamers. Gamers find other games and play other games. We just seem to have this knack of every time we find a new game, we figure out how to get it into Dead Zone.
How to fit Dead Zone into it, or vice versa.
Well, yeah, and like that was the big thing with Hardwired.
Mm-hmm.
Was immediately you're looking at a game, it's like, oh, it's miniature agnostic. You mean the bad guys can be the enforcers?
They can be the enforcers.
Done.
They can be my entire Maison Labs
team. Exactly. And then now you have 5 parsecs.
5 parsecs from home.
From home. where you can actually use the same models
mm-hmm.
and create more of an in-depth story.
Yeah.
Which leads to us coming up with crazy more ways to play Dead Zone.
So it's a very, very much a symbiotic relationship. It's not like, all right, guys, this has now become 5 parsecs from home, the podcast. It's like, no.
Well, it's tough because you have a lot of podcasts out there where they're generic podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as dialed in. Like, I mean, there's so many podcasts on gaming.
Yeah.
But they're about all types of gaming.
Yeah.
But then you have the 1,000-some-odd podcasts about 40K only.
Right. They're very narrow and focused on that little space.
Part of it's because that's the only game they play.
Yeah.
I've talked to a couple guys that do podcasts specifically for 40K, and they're like, we only play 40K. Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact for us is we play pretty much anything we can roll dice in.
And I don't know if it's just a factor of a lot of Mantic stuff is cheaper than that.
Whether it's cheaper, the fact is that's what where we started.
Yeah.
I mean,
just trying
Mantic is pretty much the reason why we became friends to begin with. And Dead Zone was my first miniatures game.
Right.
And so I'll always go back to that one. And that's why we'll keep doing the podcast with Dead Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, our biggest focus is always going to be Dead Zone, Dreadball,
Star Saga,
Warpath Universe.
Firefight.
But it doesn't mean that we're not going to be honest in...
Yeah.
Hey, we've been playing this.
And it's something too, like you're saying, you know, we know a lot of our audience are also just kind of gamers in general. Yeah. Like they might not just play one game series or one company's games. And I think that's, you know, one thing we like to share with you is like, all right, if you enjoy these games, here's something else that you might enjoy. And you've got stuff for it. In a lot of cases, you just bring it over.
Well, it's funny because the last month before we were getting ready to interview Andrew, hey, I did it without skipping a beat.
There you go.
I had just seen a post about Dracula's America again.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like right after you said, hey, I got 5 parsecs from home. And I'm like, wow. Because Dracula's America is another game that's kind of the miniature agnostic. In fact, somebody played it with Stormtroopers.
Oh, wow.
They did the whole thing, all the rules for Dracula's America, but they played it with Star Wars figs.
Gotcha.
So it's just one more game that could be a good game. We haven't had a chance to check it out, but it's...
But friends of the show, Hobby Knockout.
Hobby Knockout has played it on numerous occasions loved it.
Yeah.
So it's another game that we could check out, and all of a sudden, Dracula's in Dead Zone.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Life Drain is a thing.
It is.
And you don't need line of sight.
Nope.
I guess.
Not at all.
Hey, everybody. John Jack here from Dreadball. Commercials, you've seen me. You love me. You know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
Hey everyone, you can probably tell that most of this episode has been previously recorded, but we do have a quick announcement for the month of August. August 7th, the Dead Zone Revival Michigan event is going to be put on at Evolution Games in Lansing, Michigan. This is going to be a 200-point Dead Zone game, 4-game tournament. So definitely go check it out. It's being put on by our good friend of the show, Adam Kinney, and it's going to be an absolute blast. So check it out. But but yeah, it's like we're saying, it's another fun game to check out. In a lot of cases, you'll be able to use stuff you've gotten for Dead Zone to bring it on over and try out. So it's one of those, like, the commitment's a little easier.
Yeah.
To try things. But if you have played it or are interested in playing it, you know, shout out onto the Facebook page and let us know.
Into the social media.
But yeah, so the apart from that, trying to think of other hobby stuff that I've been doing.
You know, honestly, I mean, you think about it, like, so we're recording a future podcast.
Yeah.
So I know that there's going to be some hobby between now and the time this is released.
Yes.
I know that mine is going to be mostly Kings of War.
Yeah.
Because I'll be rushing to finish my army that in the past, it was right in front of us while we were recording.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, it should be, I've already been played and on the shelf. but no matter, even in your move, at some point, you're going to sit down and hobby.
Yeah.
For me, I know that my goal for myself is to get some more painting done. Because I've done a lot of building with not as much painting.
Gotcha.
And I think I struggle sometimes. And I think part of that is we're going into the summer, so it's going to be hot. Where do I want to be? In my basement.
In your basement.
So that's probably what I'll be doing at the time of this recording.
Yeah.
And I'll probably be doing some hobbying when we release this one.
Absolutely. And it's kind of speaking to the fantasy stuff you've been working on. Just kind of wanted to touch on the paint style that you've been going with, which is really interesting. Or it's a, you know, kind of a one of those the mono.
Okay,
mono
so
color.
So it's a grayscale.
It's a grayscale. Yeah.
So it started with Zombie Brush Studios and watching his stuff and really digging that look and wanting to learn how to do it. So I took a class with him on how to do it, and that taught me a lot about lighting and how you look at the model.
Yeah.
And I did that, and I kind of did it with some of my undead. Not my undead. I did it with my plague.
Yeah.
And I really loved doing that grayscale with them.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was, I want to do vampires and werewolves for Kings of War.
Sure.
I'm going to, at the time of this recording, I'm going to get my butt kicked. When this recording is released.
Don't take a shot every time
I will have lost.
At the time of this recording.
I will have lost all three of my games. But that's okay. Because it was more of a project.
Sure.
Because I love werewolves. And vampires are pretty cool.
So, Mantic, let's get some werewolves and some vampires in Dead Zone.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? Right? Planet Transyl Vex 3. Yeah. I got Rick thinking. You guys can't see it, but his eyes got
the thousand
the
moon effect. A random roll for whether or not a werewolf wolves out and has rampage.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, can you imagine how the moons would affect different werewolves?
No.
But back to the painting.
So when I decided to do this, Michael, another one of our friends, he happened to get Cursed City from Games Workshop, and he wanted to do the paint style that's on the box.
Right.
So I'd been talking back and forth with him, and he did a pretty cool job with all of that, but he brought it on to some other models he was doing. And the more I looked at it, I was like, I want to have fun with that kind of style, too. So I kind of combined a whole bunch of them and said, what happens? And that's how it turned out.
They look very sharp.
I enjoy them. I'm looking forward to playing them. I got my butt kicked playing them.
Yes, yes. But it was like one thing with it. Like I couldn't help but think when I saw the new, because I remember your plague turned out great.
Yep.
And I remember seeing the new ones that you just did, and I couldn't help but think, I'm like, that would look like a really sick enforcer paint scheme.
Ooh.
Right?
I think I might have a plan. Because I happen to have 175 points of newly built enforcers. I don't like you right now.
To be fair, like, paint scheme I'm doing for my GCPS is a little bit more involved. But not to say that this is a simple, like, easy thing. Like it's definitely it takes technique, and you really gotta be paying attention to what you're doing to get the effect
learning
that you want.
Yeah. I would absolutely love to get to zombies style and ability, even just a fraction of it, because his stuff is insane. But I'm having fun with it. And I think when it comes down to the very end of it, when it comes to the hobby, as long as you're having fun and you like what your opinion is, that's what matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, it's great to have somebody say, hey, those look awesome. But you're the one that painted it, but do the painting for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it for somebody else.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. And it kind of makes me think back to like one of the projects I'm going to get to at some point. Is to redo my Rebs in the original paint scheme that I have for them, which I get a lot of like Fantastic Four What? Like, it's like, is that?
It's not anywhere near Fantastic Four.
I get a lot of questions about it like that. But like the paint scheme itself, I still really like. But the as I kind of mentioned earlier, with my Striders, like the paints that I have are better now, and the technique that I've got is improved a decent amount, I would argue. And so like I'm at that point where it's like, I still love playing this Reb Force, but I don't like showcasing them as my army, because it's just one of those things. Like, I just painted Enforcers, and I'm like, man, those guys turned out great. I've been learning a lot about painting white.
Yep.
And still
by getting, not using white.
By not using white. and you know, doing the pre, like the priming shading.
Yeah. Shadow. Do effect. It. Doing the Zenithal prime.
Yeah.
Have you done the Zenithal prime with color?
No.
Try that one.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing the same thing. You're doing the same thing, but you're doing that highlight as a color already.
Yeah. Okay. That should be fun.
Yeah.
I'll have to give that a shot. So it is something where I am still, I'm more comfortable experimenting. Which is always, there is that hurdle when you're starting out, I think.
Yeah.
And you're just starting to paint. And I know I sometimes get that paralysis of like, oh, I want this to look perfect. And yep. I don't want to start, because as soon as I start, it will not look perfect.
Or you sit on a mini for years because you don't want to ruin it. And then wife yells at you and you finally paint it. And after 3 hours, look at it going, holy crap, I did that. It happens.
Yeah. I'm also looking forward to painting some of the other minis that I got that are in storage right now. It's, such as I went in on the AVP game series from Protos Games.
Yep.
During their big, like, closeout sale of that game.
Closeout, yep.
And so I got a bunch of minis from that game. And I'm like, I should paint those. They're all still in their foam cases right now. I got Wild West Exodus minis. I'm like, yep. I want to try that game out again. And I do have a couple there that I want to.
You do have some of those.
Get painting. So it's going to be, I am looking forward to having that dedicated space where I can have just kind of projects out and be working on them.
Yeah. That's a huge thing. Having these areas to be able to game at one point and do the hobby at that point and still have it separated from everything else, mm-hmm. like your office desk,
yeah,
it changes the flow.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, so that should be a fun time. And I think with that...
Are we going to wrap it up for this month?
I think we'll wrap it up for this month. It's a plural there. But you know, thank you guys for checking out Dead Zone the podcast. You can find us on Spotify, on Twitch. Twitch has twitch.tv/deadzonepodcast. You can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/deadzonepodcast. We still have a Discord, technically.
The Discord is still there.
Yep. So feel free to hop in there. Our good friend Beetle is that's usually where he hangs out. Always a great guy to chat with. We do also have follow us on Twitter at Dead Zone Podcast, and as well as we have our Facebook page, YouTube, Twitch. I already mentioned Twitch.
You did. No, but it was so fun to listen to you do the social media thing.
Yeah, I remembered to do it this time.
Yeah, and you got a nice little list of them all, and I'm like, wow, I didn't do that. I just said social media.
I'm pretty
Yay!
Lazy. I'm lazy.
That's why he's the important one.
I'm lazy, and this is what goes on the each episode has this list on it. So
works for me.
Yeah.
But yes, please reach out. Check us out on all the social medias. Because like all these podcasts, I mean, how we keep going is getting that shared out there.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great night.
Bye. So one of these days, maybe way down in the future, yeah, we should probably figure out how to do a close.
You know what we could do? We could pre-record
it. Do a pre-recorded close. So this is our close. I think the problem with that is we would be the ones that no matter what we did, no matter how many times we try to do it, it would sound too robotic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard that on other podcasts where it's like you've got the canned close kind of thing. And yeah, maybe I'd do that, but.
Yeah, but you know, like, so it's June. Do you realize in 2 months we've had the podcast for 2 years?
Blink, blink.
Yeah. <Wow. laughs> Isn't that a thing?
Mobile Arm Radio, we just recorded episode 1 of season 4.
Exactly.
Been doing that for 4 years.
You've been doing that for 4 years. We've almost been doing this for 2 years. It's nuts.
Yeah.
So why would we do an actual...
Why would we change it up?
And a closing when we haven't this entire time?
And it's been going on.
That was a Robin Jack thing.
You know, that's one of those comments where it's like, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we went uphill boys, and we didn't turn out too bad.
Sort of
trail off.
Yeah.